Let's discuss Sfiras HaOmer. This is the mitzvah of the time that we are engaged in right now. It was also articulated to us in yesterday's parsha, in Parshas Emor. Usfartem lachem yelachras haShabbos miyom adyachem esomer atzinufa sheva shabbosos tumimus tiyena. We're going to count 7 full weeks from the Korban Omer until this upcoming special yantif. So what I want to explore together with you today, two sides of this coin, the facts and the feelings. And these are going to relate to each other. They're going to influence each other. Let's start on the first side, primarily on the facts, in terms of what is this mitzvah? And I want it to be very pertinent to today. What exactly is this mitzvah for us today? And by understanding what the mitzvah is, the facts of the mitzvah, we will also be able to explore a little bit toward the second half, what are the feelings that we have toward this mitzvah, which are also related to the halachos. So the halachos, the facts, and the feelings, the experience, the kiyum, and the hargasha, the feeling that a person has, and the experience of the mitzvah, the machshava, they're very much related in general and certainly in this mitzvah. So I want to actually work backwards. Usually, when you present something like this, you start with the psukim, then you go to the gemaras, the rambams. You know, I want to actually work backwards, a little bit of a mystery, and use this test case at the beginning as a way of understanding the facts. Exactly. We're going to start with just the facts. And that is a very practical question that comes up, I would say, looking around this room, for most of us, every single day. Sometimes it's even sensitive and controversial, which is, what do we do at night in shul about counting Sfiras HaOmer? What do we do? Because most of us in this room, daven, mincha mariv, et shkia, mincha right before shkia when it's halachically daytime, mariv right after shkia when it's halachically at least beginning to be nighttime. Well, for many of us, we're not going to finish mariv after Seis HaKochavim. In Chicago, Seis HaKochavim is, according to their earliest opinions, 20-some minutes after shkia, according to the majority of opinions on Lachumra side, you know, 30, 40, 50-some minutes after shkia, way past shkia. So, Sfira is going to be done at night, as we'll see, as we know. So, wait a second. What do we do? We finish Mariv, it's 7 minutes after shkia, 8 minutes after shkia, 12 minutes after shkia. Can you count Sfira to Omer yet, or not? So this is the big question, comes up every night, and let's say if you take the two different shuls in this neighborhood, you have two different piske halacha. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us, look on page 1, HaMitzpalim HaTzibur Mibod Yom, already in the 16th century of Yosef Karo was dealing with, if you're davening with the Tzibur Mibod Yom, we'll translate that in a little bit, Mibod Yom means, well, it's still day in some respect, Monein Bahem below Bracha, count with them without a Bracha. And Vim Yiskar Palailo Yavarech Viyispar. And if you remember at night, then you count again and you say a bracha. And the Rambam says that's because you had in mind not to be Yotzei before. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, you should not be counting with a bracha at this early stage. Now, when is this early stage? Let's first figure that out. The simple understanding, the Mishnah Berurah says, if you see in Sif Gimel, Sif Katan Tes Zion on the bottom where there's an arrow, Yesh Me'achronim Shepirshu, there are those of the later authorities who explained, Dahainu Bein HaShmashos, that this is the in-between period between sunset and all the stars coming out, this twilight period of Bein HaShmashos. We're not sure whether it's night or day, or it's a little bit of both night and day, whichever one it is. And the Mechaber says, you should count with them and essentially make a condition. You say, I'm going to count now on condition that I forget later. But if I remember later, then this counting doesn't count and I'm going to count later with a bracha. That's essentially how the Mishnah Berurah understands this. But look on the right side in the Bir Halacha. Look on the right side in the Bir Halacha. 1 second. I in Mishnah Berurah, where the double arrow is on the right. Umashma mehem, it seems from them, to me plag ha-mincha from plag mincha. What's plag mincha? Plag mincha is when you take the second half of the afternoon, halachically, cut it in half. That's called plag. So it's the last 2.5 hours after mincha Katana, cut in half, it's an hour and a quarter halachically before sunset. So if you look on the Luach every day, it'll give you a little bit of a different time. From that point on, nobody thinks you can count there. That's the first opinion. V'yesh, mehar be'achronim, har be'achronim, you should know, to mefarshi bibod yom is plaga mincha. That's according to some.
626
today. Today's plaga is 626. There you go. Okay. If that's the case, then maybe we could say that this whole discussion the Shulchan Aruch is talking about after Plaga Mincha, but after Shkia, perhaps you should count with the Bracha. Right? You see how this question is going to have a significant influence on how to rule. According to the first opinion, the Shulchan Aruch is telling us not to recite a bracha when you count Bein HaShemashos in that post-Shkia time. But according to the second opinion, this is only discussing post-Plag HaMincha before Shkia. Oh, if it's before Shkia, no wonder you don't count with a bracha before Shkia. But already, you start to see that there is this element of evening that creeps up already in the late afternoon, and this has nafkaminas other places in halacha. Number one, obviously you're talking the fact that people are davening Maariv after plag. This is what some of us do on Friday night when you make early Shabbos. Minchas before plag, at least in some of the shuls, and Maariv is after plag. Similarly, the Trumas HaDeshen has a tshuva about Chanukah candles. Let's say you're going somewhere on Chanukah in the evening, and you have to light early for a specific reason. You can light as early as Plag HaMincha with a bracha, says the Trumas HaDeshen. Because once it's already like creeping toward the evening, halachically it has some of the character of the evening. So one second. So here's the question. What is it about this mitzvah that we are going to be lenient to allow you, according to the Bir Halachas, that approach in the Achronim, that thread, even if it's without a bracha, to count already from Plag HaMincha? And if that's true, perhaps you could argue that you should count after Shkia with a bracha, which is what some of the shuls do. But even if not, even if you follow the shuls that don't count with a bracha, they could count Al Tanai on condition, according to the Shulchan Aruch. Why? We just had Pesach a few weeks ago. No one in this room, I would bet a lot of money, had even a Havamina to start the Seder in the late afternoon. No one thought to do that. Even in a senior center where they have a very unusual circumstance, they will agree that you cannot B'yotzei the mitzvah of achilas matzah until night. Pasuk says be'erev tochlu matzos. I didn't say they don't start early. I did not say they don't start early. They could start early. Rav Schechter points out you could start early. You can sing Chag Gadya early. Maybe you could even drink the Dalet Kosos early because that's only midrabanan. But you cannot b'yotzei the mitzvah of achilas matzah until the nighttime. Be'erev tochlu matzos. It's got to be night. So now, why is it that we have this question where the Shulchan Aruch is telling you to make it tonight, so he sounds like he's a little more machmir, he doesn't want you to make a condition, but the Mishnah Berurah starts to be a little more makel. It hinges on one crucial question. Whether or not Sfiras HaOmer today is d'oraisa, is it biblical? If you're going to tell me that Sfiras HaOmer is d'oraisa, like matzah is d'oraisa, you're not going to have this conversation. You're not going to have people saying a bracha after Shkia. You're not going to have people counting after Plag. But if you're going to tell me Sfiras HaOmer is Drabanan, so then maybe in a Hanami. So take a look on the next page. And this is exactly why in many Ashkenazi shuls they're more lenient. Because the Gemara tells us, this is the Gemara here in Menachos, Daf Samach Vav, Amud Aleph, Omer Abaye, Mitzvah L'mimnei Yomim, Mitzvah L'mimnei Shvui. It's a mitzvah to count the days and a mitzvah to count the weeks, which is what we do. We count days and weeks. However, we don't have to do that necessarily, because the Gemara a few lines later here says, Gufa, Amar Abaye, mitzvah l'mimnei yomim, mitzvah l'mimnei shvui. That's Abaye's opinion. Rabbeinu b'dvei Rav Ashi, the rabbis of the house of Rav Ashi, they said, not true. We agree with you that in theory, in an ideal circumstance, you have to count days and weeks, but not today. Why? They say, I'm sorry, they agree. Mani yomi mani shvui. Abaye says no. Mani yomi v'lo mani shvui. He counts the days, but not the weeks. Why does Amemar say that? Amar zeichel mikdash hu. It's just a zeichel mikdash to remember what it was in the base of mikdash. Meaning today. That's right. So says Tosfos on the spot. He says exactly that. Look at the Tosfos top left. Zeichel mikdash hu nireh. Tosfos says, and this is probably why many Ashkenazi shuls were more no to lahakel, were more lenient leaning.
Just to understand
that. Yes.
It seems like he's saying that he doesn't count the weeks because it's a little bit.
Correct.
That still leaves the days.
Yes, we're still going to count the days, but you don't have to do the whole mitzvah. The original mitzvah d'oraisa was, if you were doing it in its ideal way, count the days and the weeks. But since today, it's only read to Rabbanan, the Rabbanan only required you to count the days. That's exactly it. So says Tosfos, they say, wait a minute. It sounds like Amemar gets the last word in this Gemara. Abaye said, we count the days and the weeks. It sounds like Abaye, if someone were to ask you, Abaye would tell you that Bezman Hazeh it is Doraisa. It could be he doesn't agree, just he wants to count the weeks anyway. But Tosfos says, but even if you assume that Abaye thinks that it's Doraisa, it's biblical, who gets the last word? Amemar. So says Tosfos on the top, this is exactly the question that we're dealing with. Tosfos says, Zeichel Mikdashu, Nire, it seems to me, to be Safek Chashecha. What is Safek Chashecha? Exactly. What we call? Bein Hashmashos. This twilight period between dusk and all the stars out, what do you do? Tosfos says, Yachol Levarech. You can count with a bracha.
And then say the bracha later, you've blown it.
Yes.
So if it's really...
great question. So you have to say like this. So Dr. Kaplan's question is this. He says, wait a second. The Shulchan Aruch is putting a little bit of an odd thing here, which is, it's questionable. You know, I could see how some Achronim will disagree with this approach of the Shulchan Aruch, because what the Shulchan Aruch is saying is you have to create the following scenario where you say, I'm about to say the following words. And through that, I am fulfilling my mitzvah to count the Omer. But if I remember later, I am specifically telling you right now that I am not fulfilling my mitzvah, which usually if you have Stam Kavana, you are Yotze. This is a question about Mitzvah's Kavana, but according to the Ran and the accepted opinion, is if you have Kavana not to fulfill your obligation, you are not Yotze. So let's say, oh, so the Shulchan Aruch says, I want to do it because on the condition that I forget later, I want to have caught it retroactively.
Okay.
So it's like, which now you can understand why most shuls do not do this. Because it's too confusing for people. What they're going to have, the gabbai, you could do it. We have a tremendously capable gabbai right here.
No.
And he could get it. But it would be very confusing.
Right.
It would be very confusing to stand up after Maariv,
yeah,
and say to everyone, it's only 12 minutes after Shkia, so we're going to count now without a bracha, and you're going to have in mind that you're not Yotzi if you remember later. But if you remember later, you count with a bracha.
But that's not good. I mean, you do that all the time. You say, all right, you know, early Shabbos, you remember to say Shabbos.
Ah, but there, you're not saying to people that you are having a condition.
Mm-hmm.
Right here, you have to, this is exactly what
Ed's
point is. You have to make a condition here, because otherwise, you were just Yotzi.
Right, and then you can't say the bracha.
Then you can't say the bracha. So you have to have that, so... The reason I think why shuls are not doing this is because it's very impractical. It's very confusing to people. So therefore, some shuls say, we're going to follow what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, and we're not going to count. But other shuls in our neighborhood, we're going to say, you're going to count, and with a bracha. Why? Because they're going to say, look, we're Ashkenazi, look at the Tosfos. The Bir Halacha said that the whole Dion, the whole discussion, the Shulchan Aruch was talking when? According to the Bir Halacha's first opinion followed the Mishnah Berurah. The second opinion was more lenient. That second opinion was discussing what period? Not after Shkia. It said the Shulchan Aruch was discussing after Plag. Earlier. But if you read that Shulchan Aruch like that, then you can argue that even the Shulchan Aruch will agree that once it's post Shkia, you should be able to count with a bracha. Why? Because Tosfos says the Sfiras HaOmer is only to Rabbanan. Right? Right? Like this is, so this is, This is exactly the practical question that comes up every single day that gets back to this issue. Because Tosfos says, Ain't tzarich lahamtin ad she'ivadai laila. You do not have to wait until it's definitely night. Why? Kevad shu sefeka derabanan. Because it's a suffik derabanan. It's a din derabanan. That's it.
But to say with the bracha, you do have to wait until after shkia?
Okay, well, so that's a good question. Sounds like from Tosfos, and according to that first opinion, that yes. Can you make the claim that maybe according to the second opinion in the Bir Halacha, maybe you can make the bracha there? I'm not so sure. Because there, the Bir Halacha's Achronim, I would have to look and see if there are any, does anybody on the books make this argument? The truth is that there is a little bit of a parallel in Hilchas Chanukah where we tell you, the Truma Satesh writes in that tshuva that you are allowed to make the bracha on Chanukah candles after plag. But the reason there is because on Friday, you're always counting before Shkia. You're always lighting, Hanukkah candles before Shkia. So it could be that here, I don't know. I didn't do an exhaustive search of contemporary poskim. Does anybody say that you're allowed to count after plag with a bracha? Not clear. Doesn't sound like from Tosfos that that would be the case. Does not, right? Because Tosfos only gives you suffolk lila. So I'm not going to say no one. I can't say that authoritatively. But it would seem if you put all the pieces together that counting after plag would not allow a bracha. And you would count again later, and possibly even with a bracha later, even if you didn't make a condition, because counting after plag, it's highly questionable whether that you're really yotze the mitzvah. But the point is what emerges from here is this whole discussion that everybody's got to deal with all the time. It emerges from this suffix. Is it a din derabanan, like Tosfos says, or if you turn the page, is it a din d'oraisa? So on 3 and 4, you have, this is the new cleaned up edition, the Oz V'Hadar copy of the Rif.
Oh, but it says in this past week's Shedra, it says it's in D'oraisa.
Very good. We're going to get to that in 1 second. Doesn't the Pasuk say that counting Sfiras Omer is Min HaTorah? So this, what you're looking at here on pages 3 and 4, this is the new fangled fancy print of the Rif. I put it in here because it's easier to read than the old one. You have the Rif in the middle, the Ran on the sides, and then the Balamor on the bottom. So if you look on the next page, the Ran is of the opinion. He says that Rov Rishonim think that it is only Midrabanan. Take a look underneath, however, underneath the bracket, he says there is an opinion who disagrees. I want to come back to this, Rana, in a minute. Take a look, turn your page to page 5. Says the other opinion. Who is this? The Rambam in Hilchos Tamidin u'Musafin Perek Zayin Halacha Chafbeis Mitzvas Asei Min Lispor Sheva Shevosos Tamimos Miyom Avos Omer Shenemar Usfartam Lechem Imach Rasa Shabbos. It is a mitzvas asei to count 7 weeks, full weeks, from the day of the bringing of the Omer, as it says in the Pasuk week we mentioned yesterday. And then he says, Yamim and Shavuos, like we said, go to Halacha Chaftalid, Mitzvah zu al kol ish mi Yisrael, this mitzvah is on every Jew, u'bechol makom, u'bechol zman, in every time. According to the Rambam, Sfiras HaOmer today, what is it? D'oraisa. So now you can understand why, by the way, that the Shulchan Aruch is going to be much more serious and stringent. And Bisman Azeh, we're going to be also Machmir, if we can, depending on the case. We're going to be Machmir Shittas Rambam. The Rambam holds that it's D'oraisa. Nashim Arpata, because it's Zman Grama. Exactly. So what I'd like to understand together is, wait a second, what is this Machlokas? Why does the Rambam think that Sfiras HaOmer is D'oraisa and the Baalei HaTosfos think that Sfiras HaOmer is only D'rabbanan? What would you guess?
Was it connected to bringing the actual Omer?
Aha! Excellent! So according to Reb Nathan, the whole beginning of the Sfira is what? Miyom Haviyachem Es Omer HaTnufa, from the day that you bring the Karman Omer. And when does it end? It ends when you bring the Karman Shtei Alechem on Shavuos. Well, what if you take away the Karban Omer?
Is there
a
halachic dependency?
Then what are you left with?
On the Beit HaMikdash. Right. Yeah. No, you can't. It's in the nothing to, you know, well, nothing to see.
There's nothing to count for. But what else can you say?
It says count.
Okay, well, it says, good, so it says count, mi machras ha-shabbos, mi yom aviachem. So this is option number one. Well, this is a very convincing argument. If you're going to tell me that Sviras Omer is totally on the Korban Omer, so it's good to say that today's Drabbanan. So how could you argue that today's still Doraisa?
The time of the Omer.
Oh, well, what else might we be counting in this time? What else might we be counting for in this time that, counting? That's it! I was waiting for someone to go ahead. So go back to the Ron. Go back to that Ron on page 4, the Ron of page 4, he quotes from the Haggadah, meaning he quotes an Agadah, which is interesting that he quotes a Medrash in the Halachic context. The reason why this Ran and this Rif and this Balamor are found here is because the laws of Sfiras Omer, we mentioned in the earlier Gemara, are found in Maseches Menachos. But Menachos is in the world of Kodshim, and when the Rif of Yitzchak Alfasi 1,000+ years ago, when he went to make a halachic compendium, all of Shas, he only brought those things which are lamaisa, practical. So he did not write the Rif on Kodshim. But Sfiras Omer is practical. So if you were the Rif, where would you put the laws of Sfiras Omer? In the end of Pesachim. At the end of Pesach, because after your second Seder, you're going to start counting spheres. So that's why it's here. Otherwise, you're wondering, like, what is it doing here? So the Rif...
It's one Chol HaMoed between Pesach and Shavuot. So it's all connected.
So that's why he puts it in the end of Pesachim. Yeah. Great. So the Ran quotes the Haggadah. Exactly. This is one of the halachic sources that mentions exactly that issue of counting toward Matan Torah. If you ask the average person on the street, you ask them, why are you counting Sfiras Omer? They'll tell you, they're counting to Matan Torah. Now, the truth is, that's this Ran, this Medrash, that's not actually the Chumash. The Chumash doesn't mention Matan Torah at all. The Chumash mentions the Karbanos. But the Ran says, B'shasha Amalehem Moshe, Tavdenes Elokim Ala Harazeh, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, says, you will serve Hashem on this mountain. Amarlo Yisrael, the Jews said to him, Moshe Rabbeinu, Emasai Avodazu, when will we serve Hashem? When is this going to happen? Amar Lahem, he said to them, L'sof chamishim yom, at the end of 50 days, v'hayumonim, they were counting, kol echad v'yechad li'atzmo, each one was counting for themselves. And therefore, they were excited, they were anticipating. Mikan, kavu chachamim l'sfiras ha'omer. Chazal counted Sfiras ha'omer. So here's the interesting factor. You notice what he just said. Mikan, kavu, Chachamim. Mm. So this casts some aspersions on our pshat. What do we want to say? We wanted to say that whether or not Sfiras HaOmer is Da'oraisa or Darabanan depends on whether Sfiras HaOmer is hinged on the Karban or the counting to Matan Torah. If it's hinged on the Karban, since you have no Karban, it should be Darabanan. And if it's hinged on the Matan Torah, we have the Kabbalah Satorah B'Zman Hazeh, Shavuos, Matan Torah say it should be Daraisa. The problem is, what did the Rif just say? That even within the explanation that it's about counting to Matan Torah, what did he say? Kavu Chachamim. He said, Kavu Chachamim. The sages. So that's the first problem. Okay? That's on the left. This is the first problem. So now our analysis is a little bit shaky. Now we have a second problem. Take a look, go back to that Rambam. And you will notice there is a second problem for this type of analysis. Second issue that emerges. The Rambam was an amazing, brilliant taxonomist. Not taxidermist, taxonomist. Not the same thing. The Rambam was extremely careful about where he placed all of the dinim. If you are the Rambam, and you think that Sfiras HaOmer is Bizman HaZed De'oraisa, and it is not linked to the Karbanos, where would you put Sfiras HaOmer? In which book? In what context would you put it? Yeah? Psachim. Hilchos Chametzu Matzah. Sefer Zmanim. It's time about, the Rambam says it's time about. Where did the Rambam put it? Look on the top of page 5 and you will see. Let's be sensitive here. Where did he put it?
It's not consistent.
What does he say? What does he say? Where is it?
Yeah,
it's in the laws of sacrifices. Hilchos Avoda. It's in the context of Karbanos, the Karban Omer. And the Rambam specifically says that the mitzvah is to count from the day of the bringing of the Omer. So now our Shtickle Torah falls apart. Right? We wanted to say the Machlokas, Tosfos and the Rambam, was whether or not this din of Sfiras Omer, of counting, it depends on the Karban, and then it would be Drabanan, or it depends on the Kabbalah Satorah, and then it would be Doraisa. And we see that doesn't seem to hold water on either end. Because the Ran, in the context of the Kabbalah Satorah, he said, it's only Derabanan. And the Rambam, who put it together with the Karbanos, says that it's Doraisa. So what do? We turn to Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. Rab Chaim, in what's called the stencils, you see on page 6, this is the Chidushim of Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, which he did not write up, but students wrote it up from him, and it's called the Chidushim and Stencils because, as you can see, stencil print. But the new versions, they don't have this, but I want you to get the old Geschmack one. I don't know when this was printed, in the 40s or the 50s. Like students of the Soloveitchik family, of Rab Chaim and the Briska Rav, they wrote some of these Chidushim, and I'm not sure. I think this was like the end of my elementary school time when we still had these stencil homework things from our Rabbeim. They were put on those purple sheets, the carbon things that they would put in a circle machine in the office, and they were shooting them out. The mimeographed sheets, and they smelled. You know what I'm talking about? So this was this is the stencils. Okay, so you get a little feel of the good times. The good old days. Look, he quotes here in Be'inyan Sfiras Omer, in the Rambam Perek Zayim Hilchos Midinu Musafim, Halacha Chav Beis. Vehiksha, people ask the question, Lama Pasa Karabana Debe Ravashi? Why did he paskin like the Rabbanan Debe Ravashi that you count days and weeks? Deloka Amemar. He didn't paskin like Amemar. You should have paskin like Amemar. That's the more standard understanding. She'ina Kakole Halachos. That's not following the Halachos. Says the Reb Chaim, Venira, I think it's true, Shebe Emes Pasak Ameimar. He really did Paskin like Ameimar. What does that mean? Dari Kedusha Shnia, Lobotlov, Lobotlo Kedusha Smikdash. Says Reb Chaim, I'm going to explain it to you. The thing is, he doesn't explain it. So you know, there's a famous line. When you come across a Reb Chaim like this, you look at Reb Chaim, you say, you have some splaining to do. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you have some explaining to do. So thank God we had Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, Rav Yashe Ber, and Rav Soloveitchik is quoted by Rav Schechter as amplifying this, like one cryptic line. So I gave it to you. Turn the pages. This is from Rav Schechter's Sefer Mipnimi HaRav, his second Sefer collecting ideas from Rav Soloveitchik. We're not going to go through the whole thing inside, but you see on page 8, Kuntris Be'inyanei Sfiras HaOmer, a bunch of different ideas that Rav Schechter put together from Rav Soloveitchik on Sfiras HaOmer. And he quotes this line from Rav Chaim, and he explains it. First, he gives the first explanation of the machlokas that we gave, and Rav Chaim says, doesn't hold water. Vagrach, second paragraph, Lo Hoya Sofer came, did not agree with this. To Atu Neima, here's a great, great proof. What happens the following case? The Bizman HaMikdash, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Im ira eza onis, let's say an emergency accident happened. Velo hikrivu shana achas es minchas haomer. And one year, they did not offer the meal offering of the Korban Omer on the second day of Pesach. They didn't do it. Reb Chaim says, Shalotiya chovas hasvir b'shana hahida oraisa atma? Are you going to tell me that in that context, Sfiras Omer is not going to be biblical? They have a Beis HaMikdash. They're ready to do all the karbanos. Something came up and they didn't bring the karban omer. So now you're going to tell me there's no Seder Daraisa. Now, some people would say to Reb Chaim, true. In a Hanami, yes. Reb Chaim can't countenance that pshat. He says, that's not the pshat. Elavada itfei nira lomar. Here it is. Shehamachayev l'sfiras ha'omer. What generates the chiv of sfiras ha'omer? Hainu, chovas hakravas ha'omer. What does that mean? Chovas hakravas ha'omer. The
requirement.
Exactly, the requirement. Now, what generates the requirement? The nature of the environment will generate that requirement. If you have an environment that requires people to bring the Korban Omer, so then you're going to have the counting become an obligation. Well, what environment generates that? The Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. So says Reb Chaim, he says this depends on an age-old machlokes, a huge old debate that exists already in the times of the Tanaim, when Yehoshua, when he conquered the land, did that Kedusha that he invested in it, did that remain in perpetuity? Or when the land was reconquered by the Babylonians, was the Kedusha removed? Similar question. When Ezra went on Aliyah and he settled it, that second Kedusha, was that Kedusha permanent? Another way of asking these two questions is, today, you travel to Israel, you go to the Makom HaMikdash, you go to Shar Are Yehuda, you go to Eretz Yisrael Bechlal. Is the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael today the same that it was? Or not? This is a huge machlokas with a lot of different ramifications. And the Rambam has a really interesting pshat, a really interesting psak in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. The Rambam splits between Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, the sanctity of the land, and Kedushas Mikdash, the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash. It happens to be the Rambam's opinion is that when it comes to Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, there's a difference between the Kedusha of Yehoshua, the Kedusha of Kibush, of conquering, versus Kedusha of Ezra, of settling. But we're going to leave that for today, maybe a different time, because we're not focused so much on Kedusha Shnia, we're focused on the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam will tell you, today, the Kedusha is still there. Because the Rambam holds that the Shekhinah, once the Shekhinah rested, was brought to rest in the place of Har HaMoriah, it never left. Shekhinah ain't a betela. The Rambam happens to hold, Bizman HaZeh, Kedusha Shnia is also still Kayam, so there's both. But according to the Rambam, in theory, is there a conceptual framework for a Beis HaMikdash today? Or do you have to come and create Kedusha on that place? The answer is, yes, there is Kedusha HaMikdash. The Rambam holds that if a person, which is one of the reasons why some people are so sensitive of not going to Har HaBayis today, because according to the Rambam, a person who goes on to the Har HaBayis in a place that was the Azara, that person would be God forbid Chayv Kares, Lo Aleinu. The Rambam holds there's no Kares, but The Rambam is very, very serious about this because Kedusha of the Shekhinah is not Batel. So for the Rambam, because the Kedusha of the Mikdash remains, the Rambam can argue that the Chiyuv, the obligation to bring the Korban Omer, still remains. It happens to be you go to Yerushalayim today, you don't see a Beis HaMikdash. It's an Avla. We daven Meheri Yivana Mikdash, and we'll see in a minute how this is going to interplay one other halachic thing that relates to our feelings. But according to the Rambam, if you look with your halachic goggles, you see a voice, you see letters that are speaking words coming from that place that are writing, Hare Atem Mechuyavim Lahavi Karban Omer. You are like the, if you could see the words coming out, if you could hear the voice of Hashem saying, please bring the Korban Omer. Please bring the Korban Omer. There's a Chiyuv. Happens to be, we don't have Beis HaMikdash. We have the whole, you know, the practical. But the Chiyuv is there, according to the Rambam. The obligation is there. And therefore, says Rab Chaim, the Rambam's opinion still makes sense now. The Rambam can tell you, yes, the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is dependent on the Korban. And that's why it's in the laws of Tamidin and Musafin. But it's still biblical today. Why? Because we still have the chiyuv to bring it. That's right. Exactly. It actually fits. This pshat of the Rambam fits very well with a phrase that we use commonly. We often say that a mitzvah which is pertinent in the Beis HaMikdash and not pertinent not in the Beis HaMikdash, we have a phrase. We use it at the Seder. Zeichel HaMikdash Kehilo Kein Asa Hilo Bizman. Thank you. What does that phrase mean?
When the Beit HaMikdash was established.
Exact. Stop right there. Beis HaMikdash Kayam. Now, if you were writing that phrase, what would you have said?
Stand.
Right? What kind of phrase is that? Bisman she Beis HaMikdash Kayam. You would have said, Bisman she Yesh Mikdash and Bisman she Ein Mikdash. But for the Rambam, there's no such thing as Ein Mikdash. There always is a Mikdash. It's not Kayam. The Mikdash is not standing, but the Mikdash in concept, the Mikdash is there. The Kedushas of the Mikdash is there. And you could argue even the obligation to do the service in the sanctuary, it still obtains. It's just in Beis Mikdash Kayam. It's not standing.
It justifies davening at the Kotel.
Of course.
There's no Kedusha there.
Exactly. Now, even if there's no Kedusha there, you might argue there are other reasons why it's powerful to daven at the Kotel. But certainly for the Rambam, Zeh Shaar Shemayim and the Kedusha is still there. Yes. The Rambam also holds that is Kayam today. Nope, because the Rambam has a special other. The Rambam has a lot of specialty rules. The Rambam also holds a different din, and that is that Shemitah is dependent on Yovel, which is certainly not biblical today. But other opinions will say that Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is Daraisa if you assume that the Kedusha Shnia is Lobatel, or even if you assume the Kedusha Rishon is Lobatel, and it's nothing to do with Yovel. So the answer is yes or no. But Rav Soloveitchik has a different way of saying this on the next half of the page, if you want to take a look at a different time, in page 9. But the idea now is that what we could suggest is that the machlokas about whether or not Sfiras HaOmer Bizman HaZeh is D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanan is not whether or not it's about the Karban or it's about Matan Torah. It's all about the Karban. It's just that if it's D'Oraisa, it's because you think that the Kedusha is still there. And if it's Drabanan, it's because perhaps you think the Kedusha is not there. Or another way of saying it is, Bizman HaZeh it's Daraisa because the theoretical possibility is there, and Bizman HaZeh it's Drabanan because the practical impediment removes the obligation. But according to...
The chiyuv is still there.
Oh, exactly. But you could say on the other side, you could argue that even if the chiyuv is there, since it's impossible, that would take it away from being Biyom HaViyachem. But now you see how this question of what time you should say a bracha for counting Sefiras HaOmer is actually very complicated. So when you say just the facts, in this context, it's complicated. Now this brings us to the feelings, and in just a few minutes, to capture these feelings issues in a similar halachic question, which now that we've established that we have this mitzvah, and that this mitzvah is at least a mitzvah d'rabbanan, according to the Rambam, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, and it's a mitzvah abam izman lazman, it's a time-bound mitzvah that comes only every certain period. Well, what happens when you have a brand new mitzvah that comes periodically? What should you say when you have a mitzvah that comes periodically?
Shachiyano.
Did anyone here say Shachiyano when you recited Sefiras HaOmer?
No.
So why not?
What?
Right? Why do we not recite Shachiyano on the first night of Sefiras HaOmer?
Because it's not until you've done all the counting.
Right.
Could be, but you don't say, well, I'm not going to say Shechiyonu when I sit down to... Well, that's a good question, whether you say Shechiyonu before or afterwards.
It's also dealing with meaning of a failure.
Good, okay, this is exactly it. exactly. So now you see how, what with this Shaila... So first Teretz, we quote... There's a Rashba. Later on, we're going to quote from Rashba. They say, wait a second. Everything we've said until now sets us up for the feelings question, because Shechiyanu is all about... exactly. So, of course, we're thrilled when it comes around the Kedusha of Shavuos. We're thrilled when it comes the chance to say Mikra Megillah. We're thrilled when it comes the chance to eat matzah. But says the Rashba, wait a second, based on our analysis, now the Rashba lived 800, 900 years ago, he didn't listen to this whole shiur, but he knew it all. So the Rashba says, wait a second, what is the core experience of Sfirasa Omer? What is Sfira supposed to be counting for? Now that we've laid it all out, Minat Torah, what is it really counting from and toward?
The
Omer. So says the Rashba, do we have an Omer today? Do we have an Omer today? No. So how do we feel? How do we feel? We feel chaser. We feel lacking.
But we could say that other ways. Seder also, we don't have the Korban Pesach either.
That's true. So we're not reciting Shechianu on the Korban Pesach. We're saying Shechianu on the Matzah, and we're saying Shechianu on the Kedusha Sayom. That's exactly right. So that's the Sefer on the Rashba. You know what? We're kind of sad a little bit. Because now that we appreciate that the D'oraisa real mitzvah is because it's about the Korban, well, maybe we're not so happy. If you go back to the Balamor, let's go back just for a second. You'll see on the bottom, in that Balamor, Rav Zrafia Levi, so he's dealing with this question, why don't we say Shechianu? So the Balamor is on page 3, on line 8 on the bottom right, Klol Shel Dover Ein Lanu L'Hachem B'Sfiras Omer She'enu Ela L'Zecher Ba'alma. He says, number 2, you know why we're not so machmer, we don't say Shechianu? Because it's only a Zecher Ba'alma. It's only a Zecher. And not only that, he then says something, all right, it's a little bit insulting to the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer, what he's about to say. A third reason not to say Shechianu. Number 1, it's a little bit disappointing. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. Number 2, it's only a Zecher. Number 3, look at the bottom line. Bottom 2 lines on the right side of the Balamor. We only have saying Shechianu b'davar sheish bo mishum hana, something that you enjoy. Kagon netilas lulav, like shaking the lulav. Shubala simcha, that comes for joy. Utkiya shofar, blowing the shofar. Lazikaron ben Yisrael avinu shabbat shamayim, to build this memory bridge between us and Hashem. Mikra megillah, that chas rachmana alano parkinon. Upidyon aben, top of the next column. Shemvorach avi aben, if you ever make a pidyon aben. Shaben shemivvorach. Shechianu sheyatzel b'no misafek nefel. The kid is old enough to be a month old. That's all really exciting. Next line, Sfiras Omer, Ein ba zecha l'shum hana, Ela la'agmas nafshenu l'chorban beis ma'aveinu. It's similar to the Rashba. He says, look, Sfiras Omer is not a lot of fun. It's not so much fun. So not a lot of Shechianu going on over there. It's not so much fun. Lulav, everyone has fun. Sukkah, everyone's having a good time. Sfiras Omer, not so much fun. Counting, not so much fun. It's kind of interesting. Exactly. So he says, look, it reminds us of this line of the Rashba, that we're sad. So according to this first idea, there's an element of sadness, but the element of sadness is novea. It emerges from what we are currently lacking from the past. But there is another way, another fascinating way to look at this question. So take a look on page 10. Here we have a few sources, which we're not going to be marach on because of time, just a few sources to have a fourth approach, a fundamentally different approach to why we don't say Shechianu, which helps us really enhance our appreciation for the Yontif of Shavuos in an interesting way. Fascinating. So if you look, the Or Chaim HaKadosh from yesterday's parasha, from Parashas Emor, it says, Svartan Lochem, Omro, Dirbon Shalom, Lachem. We are supposed to count. Letzad sheyitzava Hashem lispor sheva shabbosos. Hashem commands us to count 7 weeks. And he quotes from the Zohar, ki letzad shahayu betumas Mitzrayim. We were in the Tumah of Mitzrayim. V'rotza Hashem lehizdaveg le'umazu. God wanted to become our zivug, our spouse. Don ba kamishpat nida. He invokes the rules, the patterns of the laws of nida. Shedina lispor shiva nikiyim. We had this a few weeks ago in the parashios of Tazria Metzora, the dinim of Tumah and Tara. So you have the rules that a man becomes a zav and a woman becomes a zava. Those two statuses generate an obligation for counting 7 clean days. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, interesting. 7 days to emerge from the Tumah of Zav and Zava. 7 weeks to emerge from the Tumah of Mitzrayim to arrive at Maimon Har Sinai. Interesting. He says, wait a second then. Well, why is it 7 weeks and not 7 days? He says, because the nature of the Tumas Mitzrayim was so pernicious. It was so pervasive that we need a much more magnified Tahara process. And before the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rav Yitzchak Arama, as in the Akedas Yitzchak, a beautiful pshat, exactly the same thing. He quotes this exact idea that we are counting up until Shavuos based on the idea of Zov, Zav, of Nida, and Zava counting the 7 days. And now, he says, look after the, I skipped a bunch of it because it's a very long piece. Second paragraph, Olirmos, Al Chesron Haskalosam, Shadayin Tu Dechuyim Iboel Hamamad Anivchar Vakadosh, Hahu Liz Davigim Elokeim, Hamakrivam Elov Tikrovis Avo Nidavaka Hakriv, Hechoson El Eskaloso? It's the time period. It's like the time period that Echos and Ekala are anticipating and counting till their wedding.
Not counting with a bracha.
Exactly. Not counting with a bracha. This is these days. Lefi shahayamim ha'ela. Fourth line. L'shalmei abachina heim yemei tsar. They are days of angst. Kamo shamar. Lefichach lokav levarach shechianu. We don't have Shechianu because they are days of angst. Why are they days of angst? Ki eich tevarech Shechianu, ha'isha ha'megureshes mi-beis tanu ge'a mispar yomim adra bakina mi-boila. Wait a second. You take a couple, and they're engaged, and they have, I don't know, 50 days until they're going to get married. How do they feel at the beginning of those 50 days? They feel like, wow, this is such a great period. I'm so excited to have 50 days that we can't really be together. And then we have to do all these annoying things. And we have to buy all this stuff. And we have to work on our midos. That's not a day that you say Shechianu. You ask any engaged couple. And they're telling you, the only thing we wish is if we could get married tomorrow. Right?
Not yet.
I guess it depends where you're hanging. But says the Akedas Yitzchak, based on this same idea, a new reason why we don't say Shechianu. Not because we're frustrated or disappointed that the Beis HaMikdash is not here. That's one reason not to say Shechianu. But now, if we go back to the exact opposite approach and say that Sfiras HaOmer is about counting down to Kabbalas HaTorah, if Kabbalas HaTorah is not a day that we were burdened with hundreds and thousands of commandments, if Kabbalas HaTorah is a wedding day, if it is a day of zivug, of union, then just like you ask any engaged couple who's counting down to their wedding date, they don't think this is like the most joyous period. This is not exactly a honeymoon. There's a lot of tension, there's a lot of anxiety, there's a lot of frustration. You ask the average engaged couple that, in a healthy way, they would say, I wish the wedding were tomorrow. We're not going to recite a Shechianu on being engaged when you wish the engagement were over. So it's a new way of looking at Sfiras HaOmer. If you look at Matan Torah really as the wedding, then everything that came before that, it's just an annoyance. And if you look, take a look on the next page, beautiful, look at the back page, beautiful Yalkut Shimoni, totally redefines our understanding of Sfiras HaOmer, counting to Kabbalas HaTorah as a wedding. So one opinion in the Gemara in Shabbos is that when we stood at the base of the mountain, Vayisyatzvu b'sachtis ha'har, how did we stand at Har Sinai? Where was the mountain? Some of you remember. Where was it? Exactly. How did that feel? That was a Chicago-style Kabbalah Satorah. You really want to take this Torah, don't you? Right? Kof aleim har kigigis. Okay, that's one element. There needs to be... Okay, but look at this Yalkut Shimoni. That the Yalkut Shimoni says... The people at Har Sinai, they were afraid of the lightning, the thunder. It was loud. So what did Rabbi Shalom do? Malami chinitla shahar mimekomo. He uprooted the mountain from its place. V'karvu v'omdu tachas Har Sinai. And the Jewish people stood under there. Exactly. Like a place that they felt safe and protected. It's like a little kid in a thunderstorm who goes under the covers. Says the pasuk, "Vatikruvun vatamdun tachasahar." What does it say? Yonasi b'chag vehasela, my dove in the cleft of the rock. Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan, Zichut Tzadik Lebracha, points out this was the first chuppah image, because that's what it says in the Medrash Rabba here in Achrei Mos, "Biyom chasunaso v'yom simchas libo, biyom chasunaso zehar Sinai." Har Sinai is the wedding, of course. A person who gets married and is in any committed relationship, they have commitments, they have expectations. That's what you have when you have a relationship. You have expectations. The Rebbe Shalom has expectations of us. And of course, it's Latav. It's for us to build a relationship with Him. So the mitzvahs that we're getting, they're in the context of a marriage. In the Yom Chasunaso. So Sfiras HaOmer, now that we understand that it's counting down to Matan Torah, it's actually counting down to a wedding. And so that count doesn't get Shechianu, because all we want to do is get to Maimon Har Sinai, and to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, His Ratzon was, like the Lashon of Archaim HaKadosh, Lizdavik, to create this bond, this marital bond with us, which is extraordinary, Kiviyachol. What does that even mean? And now you can understand how the Luchos are like the Ksuba. And I'm not going to talk about why Moshe Rabbeinu had to tear the Ksuba. Right, what happened that he had to break the luchos, that imagery? But forget about that. Let's be happy for the moment. Let's not relive that. Now we're in the period of building up to appreciate what is Matan Torah. It's Yom Chasunaso. So many people, unfortunately, they view mitzvos as a burden, as an undue imposition on their lives. But really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to you and to us is that I want to be mizdavik to you. I want to elevate you. I want to purify you. This period of time, these are our seven shivanakim that we're excited, that we're building toward this wedding, that we can then build a life together. And then once we get the Torah, it's going to be a lifetime of learning. After Matan Torah, that's just the beginning. That's just the commencement. So now we need to learn more. We need to appreciate more. We need to develop our relationship more. But actually now we see that the facts and the feelings are interrelated. Whether or not Sfiras HaOmer, Daraisa, Drabanan, the Shech Yonu on Sfiras HaOmer, it all comes to these feelings. And it's true, you can have one feeling of sadness not to say Shech Yonu because we're missing out on the Beis HaMikdash. And I think that's true. And that's a sadness, but that's a sadness, that's an etzev, that's Lisha Avar. But I think the more powerful feeling that we can think about for Sfiras HaOmer not to say Shech Yonu is that we're frustrated because we're not yet at Kabbalah Satorah. We didn't get all our mitzvahs yet. We want more mitzvahs. We want more connection. We want that zivug. And that's going to change our whole appreciation for Shavuos and all the mitzvahs that we do throughout the year.